There is a hadith in Tirmidhi, and a Sahabi radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith in Tirmidhi, and he said that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that your Muslim brother, his worldly and dini condition, his dunyawi, his worldly or dini condition, on such a condition, if he is in a bad way or in a bad state, then don't show or demonstrate your happiness upon that. This is hadith, that your Muslim brother, his dini or dunyawi, if he has a bad condition, a bad situation, then don't show or make apparent your happiness on the bad state or condition or situation of your brother, whether it's deen related or dunya related. Alhamdulillah, it may seem a small statement, but it is very total and complete. It is very important for us. It is very essential for us and for our mu'ashara, for our society. Islam has a beauty. Islam has a beauty and a great quality that it's not just restricted to worship, ibadah, and for example the masjid. Rather, wherever a life, the life of a Muslim passes through, Islam also passes through with him or her. Wherever a Muslim is living, abiding, or doing things, interaction, Islam travels with that person. Islam is not confined to just worship. Everything in life, every second of the day, every example of life has guidance from Islam. In every position you are in life, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, Islam will be alongside you and will guide you and direct you and enlighten you what to do. Ma'ashara, the environment, society that we live in, is a very big subject. To live in society, within our environment, with people sitting, standing, talking, connection with people. And when the environment, when society gets spoilt, then it's a very bad consequence. And when the society is enhanced and improved, then it becomes a great assistance for the lives of the people. And Islam has laid big, big emphasis on haquqs, on the rights, on society's rights. And unfortunately, we are bearing the consequences of compromising with this subject in Islam, that living in society. We have just kept Islam restricted to fasting and salah. We rejected all the other principles of deen. We have fallen into difficulty today. We have fallen into difficulty. This hadith that I just mentioned to you, presented to you, the Holy Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said a fantastic statement, a great statement, a beautiful statement for me, you, for our society. And may Allah ta'ala allow this practice to come into our life so we can see the fruits of this practice in our lives while we are alive. It's a small statement, but a weighty statement. And it happens in society, in our everyday lives. We see that a person who's in a good position, has good situation, is prospering, success. And in this hadith, the words used are dini, Islamically or worldly. He's prospering and he's rich, maybe wealthy. He has shops, transactions, positive profit. He's succeeding worldly wise or Islamically as well. And sometimes happens his children are hafiz and their success. And both conditions are covered by this hadith, that a person can be high or progressive in deen, Islamically, and also worldly. People know that he's got houses or assets or money, and especially the people around him know that he's happy, especially his relatives. And what happens then? We live in a generation where life changes, phases change, situations change, a person's conditions change, and his business may flop, or such conditions come in his life, and he drops down to the ground. And he comes very low to the ground. Now here, what happens in society? Relatives or people, friends around him, acquaintances, associates, when they hear, if I hear, or if I see that this person had a takeaway, I shut down. Is it? And in that situation, what does Islam teach us? It's very deep, is our religion. What will be my position? What will be my position when I hear about the loss of my fellow brother? Now you may think it's a small thing. I go, I see the takeaway, I say, Assalamu alaikum wa alaykum salam. Oh, he was a relative. I see the takeaway, the shutters are down, the shop is shut. Why is it closed? Oh, I had debts. the tax inland revenue came, they took hold of my business, I went into liquidation, I had to shut down, I had big debts I had to pay off, I didn't have the funds. So now, when you see the situation that has befallen your fellow brother, your fellow associate, colleague or relative, when you see his bad situation, you see this example I gave? It's not a good situation, is it? It's a bad situation. So don't make apparent your happiness. Allahu Akbar. After seeing the fall, the drop, what should come into my heart? Happiness or loss or pain? Say it loudly. You're not going to say it? Say the truth. That should you feel pain in your heart or happiness due to the bad situation of your brother, of your fellow brother? Will you feel disheartened? Now it's coming, not coming to your lips, is it? So I'm going in the first step, but I go deep into the hadith that I'm discussing with you. Because this is not a statement that came from some normal person. This was the statement that came from wahi, from the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Full of treasures. And if Allah opens the hearts, that's when we realize. So what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That when you see the bad situation of your fellow Muslim, or any person, don't make apparent your happiness. What do we say today? Oh, how sad. Oh, how great. Ah, he's wretched now. He was a show off. He used to walk around showing off, showing his wealth. And now you are happy and you're proud of the fact that he's fallen down to the ground. Now Islam is teaching us the principles that we shouldn't be like this. So we went forward. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Oh, you know, I heard that, you know, my cousin, oh, his shop's closed down. Ah, he's destroyed now. Oh, he thought he was something. And the other person says, is he? Oh, and he starts laughing as well. Isn't this our society? What happened to him? Oh, they took everything. The inland revenue came. His debtors came. They took everything. And here they're making apparent their happiness. Allahu Akbar. And Islam here grabs us by the neck. That one is the situation of your fellow brother, which is a bad situation. And you have got happiness in your heart that has arisen. Should you be happy in the bad situation of your fellow brother? No. So on top of showing happiness from the depths of your heart when you're backbiting against him with other people. So one is that you've made apparent your happiness and you're discussing it with somebody else and smiling. Let's go further. Let me present further this hadith. There are two sins that are happening here. If, for example, in your heart this also arose, this feeling that you were happy due to the bad situation of your fellow brother, if this happiness has actually come into your heart in reality, then control this happiness. Don't have happiness in your heart for the loss or the pain or the rotten situation of your fellow brother. So one is you've got this already, which you need to control and tone down. But on top of that, you are sharing that happiness and communicating that with the society around you. In our everyday lives, people older, younger, alim, the hafiz, the qari, the molana, the sufi, the boy, the girl, everyone is involved in this sin. Why? Because the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his blessed statement, he said that along the time of the life and the journey of the life, we have different situations that arise. Deen is not restricted to just ibadah. It's not just for this world. Rather, even in the deen we have problems. Because Rasulullah said in this hadith that if you see Islamically deeny and worldly loss from your brother, don't feel happiness. And that's when he knew at that time, he had the foresight to know that it's not just worldly but also deen, Islamically issues that arise amongst people. So don't just look at their mihrabs, the sign of the prostration, their tawaf, their salah, their dhikr, their sujood, their prostration. Even they may be falling into the deficiency. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that there's no sign, there's no guarantee. That's why Rasulullah ﷺ said in his hadith that not just the worldly losses of your people, you know, but also the deeni losses you see amongst people. Deeni and dunyawi. Molana or business. Yes, imam or business leader or business person who owns the enterprise and the business. So Hazrat or Sheikh or businessman or whoever is around you, whoever falls into loss or pain or issues and difficulties, don't show your happiness for that. Because every day in life there are ups and downs, there are problems, there are positives, there are minuses. So firstly, you have the happiness in the heart, you shouldn't have it. And secondly, you're showing this physically demonstrated, men and women. And women, oh, they have their own style of demonstrating their happiness when they see the pain of a fellow person. The women, they say, subhanAllah, they mention the loss of their brothers and sisters in such a beautiful way. Oh, this happened to him. Oh, astaghfirullah, Allah maaf, Allah. Oh, Allah forgive, Allah forgive. That person, his daughter ran away from home. Oh, what a laugh, they say. And they start smiling. So remember, Rasulullah said, Islamically, deeni or worldly. If, for example, somebody's child gets spoiled, somebody's daughter gets spoiled, this is muashara. We're in the society. We live in the real world. Or for example, somebody's child is learning knowledge and then they stop. You send them to Darul Uloom and they slipped and they left, or they started smoking cannabis or drugs. We're living in society. It happens, doesn't it? So what happens now? You hear the news and in your heart, you said, oh, he sent his son to become an alim, a scholar. And he said, my sons are like this and that. Now what's happened? They say, oh, his son started to smoke drugs, cannabis. The message has come. The news has come. And inside they've got the happiness. And should they have happiness or should they have pain and distress and feel remorse and be distraught at their fellow brother's ill fortune? Look at the condition of our Muslims today. We are happy when we hear about the ill fortune of our brothers and sisters. Are we not going to be accounted on the Day of Judgment? Or we think just I've prayed Salah and I'm pious, I've fasted, I've gone on Hajj. Where will this Hajj and Salah and fasting, where will they go? How will they be accepted? How big a sin is this that I'm telling to you? I'll tell you how big a sin it is. I'll tell you the punishment. Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Now tell me, brothers, truthfully I tell you, coming, a few moments before I saw this hadith and this whole subject has come into my mind before this discussion and sitting about today. I'm not some alim, I'm not a scholar, I'm not a mufti, I'm a normal person. But just one, alhamdulillah, I have the with the fadl of Allah that I sat at the footsteps of the walis of Allah. That's all I have to my name. I sat in the company, I had the connection, and I sat in the footsteps of the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. Allahu Akbar, I didn't know this before myself. I didn't know that this was deen before this. I didn't know that this was a sin. I'm telling you the truth. And you probably didn't know that this was a sin as well in this style and manner. How big a sin is. And I'll tell you the consequences of this sin. Whatever comes in my mind, inshallah, I'll share with you before I leave. Because I've come. Allah Ta'ala has put this in my heart for your sake. And I'm not a machine that every day a bayan comes out, alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar, where are these bayans coming from? They're not pre-produced. And mashallah, you come with passion and you want to hear. And I know people are looking. What is this? This is Allah Ta'ala's karam and mercy and fadl, Allah's blessings. Allah Ta'ala instills these words and thoughts into our hearts. And we should do shukr and be grateful that Allah Ta'ala is rectifying us. Otherwise, where do we get these words? You go for Jummah, one topic. That's it. Jummah bayan, one topic. Don't take what I'm saying badly. You go to read Jummah, one topic. But this, that the fakir and the gathering of the fakir, every day you'll get a new topic. Every day you'll get a new angle. Every day you'll get new advices. Yesterday was a different discussion. The week before was a different discussion. This is the sadaqah or the footsteps that I acquired from the footsteps of my sheikh. I sat in the sohbat, the company of the wali of Allah. Great, valuable, precious. Doesn't matter what you do, but sit in the company. Today after 40 years, alhamdulillah, I'm seeing that when I used to sit with Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, I never imagined that from this fakir, the wali of Allah, what I would get. That I had nothing. My sheikh, my fakir, my teacher had no blanket to wrap around him, no shoes to wear. Alhamdulillah, we got the kingdoms, we got the great, great status due to the company of the wali of Allah. I understood the Quran, the nur, the light of hadith. Is there any greater nur and blessing than this? Tell me. What a great nur. What a great blessing. So why I discuss these points is that I am grateful to Allah, that I am also being grateful to my sheikh who gave me his attention and focus and blessings and mercy. Hazrat, look what you made me. You transformed me from what to what. You allowed me to share such beautiful jewels with the people. So as I was discussing, the topic is what? That remember, whenever you see the ill fortune of your fellow people around you in society, never show and demonstrate physically your happiness. But we number one have happiness, and on top of that we demonstrate it so openly. The women, acha, is it? This happened to that person. They start giving a bayan, a lecture. They are so happy when they hear the ill fortune of their fellow people around them, like they've just got the sweets from Ambala Sweet House and they've warmed it in the microwave and they're eating the warm sweet with the tea and the coffee, and they're so happy to discuss the problems of their brethren. And they're discussing it so openly and beautifully and melodiously. Oh, do you hear that? The daughter of this person, is it? Don't tell anyone. Just between you and me. And that person who she's telling is going to definitely go and tell the next person. She's never going to leave that ill-fortune, ill-fated person that they know. Because their day is passing nicely with the sweet backbiting. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Azan is about to go and I need to pray as well. Subhanallah, they want to pray as well. And Hazrat Sheikh has given me zikr. I have to do zikr as well. But let's finish the backbiting first. Allah forgive me. Allah forgive me. Oh, chash. She ran off yesterday. Yeah, she ran off. Did you hear who she ran off with and how she ran off, what she did before she ran off? Allahu Akbar. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when a Muslim brother sees the bad situation of the fellow brother or sister, what should he or she do? Their happiness, number one, they shouldn't be happy. And if they are happy, unfortunately, in their heart, then don't demonstrate it physically. Don't make it apparent. Don't show it. But no, we have to show our happiness. We want to backbite and slander and spread that news across the town. So don't you want to take heed? Then listen, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then listen. Then I come back to the hadith. Who narrated this hadith? Remember the name of that sahabi, mashallah, who told us such great things. Hazrat Wasila radiyallahu anhu. This is a hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. And he said, radiyallahu anhu, that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when you see the ill fortune, bad situation, issues and difficulties of your fellow Muslim brethren, then don't demonstrate your happiness for that. Never, never demonstrate your happiness. And may it not be that Allah gives him rahmah and Allah gives you that ill fortune and bad situation that that person had who you are laughing upon. Allahu Akbar. What a big punishment. What a big punishment. Oh, I don't know what's happened to my son. He was so fine yesterday. And we were giving him tarbiyah. We never thought that our business would go down. Profit would go down. And I'd insured my premises and my business and my takings and my gross and my income. And my son, he was so good. And I don't know what's happened. We never committed a sin. We never thought that this would happen to us. And who is saying this? Those same people that Allah said, don't speak against your brother when he has ill fortune in his life, because that situation may befall you soon. And soon it happened. I said, you laughed at him the other day, didn't you? And today it's happened to your son, the same thing you laughed at the other brother. Today your business has gone downhill because you laughed at the other brother's business going downhill. And today it's happened to your daughter, the same thing that you laughed at the other brother and sister about their daughter. Allah, Allah is just. So has that punishment not come? And when the punishment comes, oh, I don't know what was my fault. Why has this happened to us? Why this has happened to you or to her or to me? Because this sin I committed before, why I was happy about the ill fortune of my fellow people in society, and I demonstrated that. We think that this is a minor. We think this is a minor. And that person who's got the destruction and problems, and then when the issues come to us afterwards, Allah Ta'ala punishes us. I don't know why Allah Ta'ala has given me punishment. I've gone Umrah, I've done Hajj, I give speeches, I give bayans, I do dhikr, I pray tahajjud, I remember Allah, and this happened to me, and I gave sadaqah, and I constructed a masjid, and I gave khairat, and I gave zakat. A to Z, I present the list to Allah and say, Allah, why did you punish me as well? I says, keep your list to yourself. You were laughing at my makhluq, at my creation. You were ridiculing him. You were backbiting him. Because who creates all the bad situations? Allah. Everything is in the control of Allah Ta'ala. Everything is in the hands of Allah. It's up to Allah why he did and whom he did it to. And you started laughing at it? Allah Ta'ala says, I gave negativity to somebody. And you started laughing and sneering at that person. Allah said, you committed a big sin that you tried to join in with the decision of Allah to laugh and backbite someone. And you think that nobody can shake your throne? Nobody can shake your seat? Nobody can take your empire from you? And you think that you are immune? And you are robust, and you are watertight, and you have a ring fence around you, and you have protection. And Allah says that no one can spoil your life when you continue to laugh at other people's lives every day. Allah said you did a massive sin. Your ibadah, your worship is nothing in my eyes. Allah says, huququl ibad, the rights of society is the highest. The hisab, the accounting of huququl ibad, Allah says, I will tell you on the day of judgment what is huququl ibad, the rights of society. One penny, if you have taken from somebody unjustly, Allah says, you will realize. Doesn't matter what you give as deeds on that day, but you will never be saved on the day of judgment due to that sin. Allah says, my rights, my worship, maybe you were a little bit weak. Allah says, maybe I'll let you off that. But haqqul ibad, the rights of society, how dare you that you backbited someone? How dared you to swear at somebody? How dared you to take the money from that person? How dared you that you took possession into your possession of somebody else's wealth? You planned negatively against someone. You defrauded someone. And you think that your situation will be good on the day of judgment? Allah says, no. Look, brothers, sins are committed. All of us, we committed sins. We become weak in salah and worship. But make special attention for this. Haqqul ibad, the rights of society and people and human beings around you. In no way ever, not just Muslims, every human being in the world, don't give anyone any pain. Whatever religion, whatever faith he follows, because he or she are the creation of Allah. If you cannot do good deeds, then at least don't do bad deeds. If you can't do good deeds, then at least save yourself from bad deeds. If you can't do something right, then at least don't take the money from someone. At least don't laugh at someone's ill fortune, at somebody's bad situation, at somebody's difficulties, at somebody's crying, at somebody's wretchedness, and if somebody's cursed, don't laugh at them. And Allah says, if you do this, then you will be punished. Should we save ourselves from this or not? Do we do tawbah, all of us? Do we repent? After today, put your fingers in your ears, first and foremost. Why does this situation arise in our lives? Pay attention, focus, analyze. Why are you happy about the bad situation, about your brothers and sisters or other people in the society? Was it in your ears? Was it in your eyes? No, your happiness was in the depths of your heart. This hadith has given us a message that all these conditions, bad situations arise in your heart when you don't do your Islam, when you don't rectify yourself, because you got dirt in your heart. And this warning is given to those people from Rasulullah that you are emphasizing too much on exterior cleanliness, purification. Allah says, no, I look at the depths of the heart. I look at the depths of heart. Allah Ta'ala is hinting here, in reality, you need to focus, effort, and strive on the dirtiness within your heart. Your heart is full of dirt and rust and diseases and illnesses against your fellow members in society around you. So Allah says, straight away identify the dirt in your heart. Identify your maladies and your deficiencies, and you are enjoying the bad situation of the humans around you. Very bad situation that is. Very bad deed that is indeed. To feel bad, good about somebody else's bad situation. Allah says, Rasulullah said, do your islah, rectify your heart. For example, today, let's take any individual, because this hadith goes to both angles of life. Not just worldly situations, Islamic, every alim, scholar, muhaddith, who teaches Bukhari, Tirmidhi, in Darul Uloom, doesn't matter what is his status. Allah says, disease is in the heart of everybody. And until, unless you do not do islah, you don't rectify your diseases, you cannot obtain the solution, the cure from the kitabs. The kitab will give you the information. It will give you the data. Like I gave you this hadith, I gave you the information. But if I stop now, will we be cured? No, let's go further in the subject. What does Rasulullah want us to do to cure this deficiency? Rasulullah wants us to extract this situation from our hearts. This disease where we are happy about other people's bad situations. The Prophet Muhammad said, I don't want you going to hellfire. If Allah is displeased with you, then He will give you the same punishment. So Allah Ta'ala says, the Nabi said, I don't want you to continue this way. So do your islah. Rectify your situation. Rectify your heart. If you're happy about other people's bad situations and their problems, then you need to take this disease out of your heart. You need to straighten yourself. You need to correct yourself. What will happen to me if I am happy about others who've got problems? In this dunya will be wretched. You will be lost and destroyed, and in the hereafter you'll be destroyed. Remember, whatever Rasulullah said is haqq and truth, and definitely this will happen in your life. Doesn't matter how much happens. If you speak and backbite about a girl or a brother who have gone off the track and you laugh, or someone's son has gone astray and you laugh at the father, or the business has gone down and you laugh at that brother or sister, when these halat and conditions come in your heart, first and foremost you must think, oh, in my life, definitely I've made a mistake. Definitely I've made a mistake. Start crying, regretting, have remorse, do istighfar, tawbah, bow in front of Allah. Allah, I've made the sins, I've done a mistake. Allah, please forgive me, protect me. Allah, forgive me for my mistakes. Do tawbah, istighfar, repent, ask from Allah. And straight away understand that sometime in the past, you have stumbled, you did something wrong against somebody, you took their haq away from them, you laughed at them incorrectly, and then do tawbah. Is this right or wrong what I'm saying, brothers? This is called hadith and the meaning of the hadith. My brothers, what a great subject of islah. When we look at our ma'amalat, our deeds, we think, oh, my business has gone downhill because I didn't focus on the business, or my children have gone off track because I did something wrong with them. No, first and foremost think, what is the hadith telling me about the root cause? That you did bad against somebody else before, you were happy about your brothers and sisters who had bad problems before, and you laughed at them, you joked against them, you sniggered at them, you sneered at them, and you shared that with other people. If you didn't do that, then you wouldn't have had problems today. So how do we do this to save ourselves from a bad situation? Go towards islah. Go towards purification, rectification, whether you're old, young, middle age, you're about to die, hafidh, qari, abid, zahid, dhakir, whatever is your maqam, everyone needs islah, rectification, because we are human beings, and with a human being always there's nafs and shaitan. My hazrat, my sheikh said, until the grave, until you don't die, until the last breath is not extracted from your body, until that second, we are dependent on islah, each and every one of us. We have no idea, will kalima, recitation of la ilaha illallah, come on the tip of my tongue at the time of death? The sins are hidden in my heart. Beware, hide your sins, don't make them apparent. But don't laugh on the ill fortune of somebody else. Create the mirror within you that I have the sin within me. Don't deceive yourself that I haven't done this, I haven't done that, I haven't befooled someone, I haven't laughed at someone, I haven't joked against someone, I haven't done oppression against someone, injustice against someone. Don't deceive yourself at least. If you're laughing at others, at least don't deceive yourself. How can you deceive yourself? The result is going to come out most definitely. So hide your sins. Wrap your sins and hide them in the closet. But don't hide them from Allah. Hide them maybe from yourself and society, but unravel those sins and say, Allah, I've done this destruction. I've committed this sin, Allah. I've said these wrong statements. I've done these oppressions against people, Allah. These acts, Allah. So Islah is essential. It is critical. My brothers, we don't even get time to go and sit in the company of the walis of Allah, the pious people. There are two types of people. One is the person who says, I don't need to have Islah. I don't need to rectify my, I don't need a sheikh. I don't need a guidance. I know all the kitabs and the hadith. Many people say that. We know everything. I'm the scholar. I'm the peer myself. Who can be greater than me? I'm pure. I've heard these from my ears. I'm great. I have knowledge. There's no greater pride than this. Shaitan had this, and this is shaitan yet. This shaitan. If someone's telling you, brother, do you Islah? Ah, don't tell me about Islah. I'm the biggest peer and sheikh. People come to me for guidance. Why do I need to go to someone else for guidance? Imagine. Imagine. Is this insan? Is this human being? Look at how the sins and diseases are hidden within us. In the darkness of our... Brothers, the grave is near. These small sins we call small. Is this a small sin? This is a massive sin. Imagine the punishment of this in hereafter. Do your Islah. Inshallah, when you sit in the company of Waliyullah, then you will get Islah. So one is the people who don't even go towards Islah. They don't rectify themselves. They say, we don't need. And the second group of people are those who have the desire. They have the love. They have the passion. They hear, they see, I need to take bayah, I need to pledge allegiance, I need the company of a sheikh, I need to get dhikr. They understand this, they realize this and they come. This is the second party. The second party, who is the second party? They want to get bayah. Yes, I want to get bayah. I want to learn dhikr sheikh. I want to purify my heart. I want to become a better human being. There is this party, this group of people. And they're doing dhikr, they're bayah. And they think they're famous. Oh, I'm bayah with this sheikh. Oh, I've got a link with this sheikh. Oh, I do this much dhikr. Oh, I'm so great. And I'm a very great wali myself, and I've got a link with the great wali, and they're telling people, and they're earning dunya through the company of the sheikh. This happens also. With the company of the sheikh, due to the attire, the libas in the name of the sheikh, they're earning dunya. And the dunya starts to trust them, and people start to give them funds and give them loans. Oh, you know, I've got a link with this person, and he's going to get money, and he's taking the name of Hazrat of Sheikh. What has the link of the sheikh with your business? Why are you using the name of your teaching business? No, I'm the murid of this sheikh, you know, and I run this business. And you're trying to business be successful business-wise, worldly-wise, through the company of the sheikh. So you are half this and half that. Half dunya, half deen. But the third group of people, they know the maqsad, objective of bayah, pledging allegiance. I'm going to see my sheikh, create a link with my sheikh. The Quran has told me this is the path. The hadith has told me this is the path. I'll make a connection with my teacher. I'll do my salah, purify my heart so I can leave the sins. And they go with this pain and loss and fear in their heart. And that's why they get bayah with the sheikh, with the sincere intention. What's the best out of these three paths? One, two, or three? Tell me. The third, obviously. So come to the third one quietly and forget all other issues. Make your niyas correct. Align your intentions solely and sincerely. When you realize what are your sins, and you've opened up your mirror, and you've seen the reflection that dunya has come to your heart, the worldly love is in your heart, and all the idols are in your heart. Where shall I go now? What shall I do? Oh, I'll die. I've got sins. What shall I do? Then straight away go to the Quran. Quran advises, go sit in the company of the wali of Allah and learn from that teacher. And what's the maqsad, objective of sitting in the company of the wali of Allah, the sheikh? Only one, that I can crush and annihilate and eliminate my sins. Dhikr is not the objective. Dhikr is not the objective of getting bayah and having the company of the sheikh. Many people pass without doing dhikr. Not that you're going to sit in dhikr, in the gatherings of dhikr. This is not the objective. People have made this a tradition, culture. We're sitting in dhikr. They're doing dhikr. They're sitting with their sheikh. And you think he is the best person? How has he become good? Look in the mirror. Inside, has any sin been eliminated? 30, 40 years a person sits, and his sins are still stuck there in his heart. They're still the same. All of the deficiencies are there. He's still the dirty person inside. Because the shaitan has deceived him. That 3 years, 10 years, 40 years, 30 years, you sat with your sheikh, you do so much dhikr, and you think you are correct and aligned. Look in your mirror, in your heart, and who will look for you? What answer will you give? Allah, I sat in dhikr for many years, I took bayah. Allah says, so what? Did you cure your heart? Did you eliminate your sins? Did you remove your sins from your life? Do you understand what I'm saying, brothers? So Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at quantity or years or dhikr. Nothing goes. Sheikh, to have the teacher, Allah Ta'ala gives hukam, go to the doctor, the spiritual doctor, and the objective of having a shaykh, a teacher, and to learn from the teacher, and to do the dhikr from the teacher's teachings, is so you can clean your heart, remove the sins from your life, and leave this world as clean as a muttaqi. And the Quran gives the good news to the third group of people, that they'll become purified, that when they will be given the ghusl, the angels will give them the ghusl with the water of Zamzam. Because their lives, when they die, their corpse will be so light, their ruh will be so light, and their sins will be removed from the body, and they wait, these people. Allah, bring my ending near, so I can meet the success in paradise. And inside their grave, there's no darkness. There are carpets and rugs and windows, and the angels are there. They're saying Subhanallah, and there's beautiful fragrance of paradise in the grave. And the first reward is that person in the grave who's successful sees the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The first thing, all his life he was thirsty. That person, the believer, he does the ziyarah. The angels say, "Who's this person? Who is this person?" Ah, beautiful tafsir, the ashikin, the lovers have written. And that person will be mad. They'll forget about this. Forget about the issues. He'll have ziyarah straight away. When a person annihilates his sins from this world, he will do ziyarah of Rasulullah in the grave. Don't be in deception. "Oh, I've come for dhikr." And you're sitting broad-chested with a big head and big shoulders, and inside there's haram. Have you taken out what's haram? Have you distributed it and got rid of it? No, I've still got to do it. No, clear cut. If you don't have the life, clear cut, based on halal, and you don't have the mirror in front of you, "Hey, I've given you a beautiful formula, a beautiful point, alhamdulillah. Beautiful point." And this is self-assessment. Allah Ta'ala has given a beautiful formula, beautiful guidance. Every day, bring a sin in front of you and work on it, assess it, measure it, gauge it, and fight against the sin. Remove the sin. I've told you the tariqah, that you've got the sob at the company of the shaykh and you're doing dhikr, but you still got sins in your life. Seek the sins that are in your life. Like I told you today, this sin. See, have you ever laughed on anybody's misfortune? When I hear about the misfortune of somebody, am I happy or am I unhappy? Who should judge this? Shaykh can't judge this. You have to judge this, because it's your heart, your feelings. That when I heard bad things about people, was I happy? When I saw the misfortune and the bad situation of a brother or sister, was I happy? Go straight to your sheet of laughter and having bad thoughts. And after every month, write to your shaykh, to teacher, "Hazrat, I've got this sin and I've decreased it." Not this, you go to the shaykh and waste the time and disturb him. No. This is the way of tariqah, islah, that you should create the remorse in your heart. What's the point of just bringing the sheets to me? Why do you jump in front of me like this? I've given you the tariqah. The shaykh's work is that after a month you say, "Hazrat, I had this sin." Yourself you should tell him, "And I'm fighting this sin with the fazl of Allah, with the karam, with your tawajjuh, with your focus, with your barakat. This sin is coming out of my life." Every man should take all of his sin and tell me after 30 days, "With what sin do you come to me?" And my Hazrat shaykhs used to say, rahmatullahi, that when you give the update to your shaykh, you get a benefit. The wali of Allah, he pays attention to you and he does dua for you. Subhanallah. Not this, you sit in front of him 3 hours, "Hazrat, this is happening, I'm trying my best to take this sin out," and then you speak about business. Astaghfirullah. Have you not read that first and foremost this adab the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught his sahaba? Then when you come to the Prophet of Allah, don't waste his time, don't knock on his door and waste his time. This was told to the sahaba. So if you've got pain, loss, then extract the sins. Justify, "I've got this sin, I've earned this much haram, this much money I've hidden underneath the mattresses." Tell your shaykh, "I want to take this money out, I want to get rid of it." This is the tariqah of saving yourself from the hellfire. Allah Ta'ala's buchi, and if you've got this pain, "I want to take the sins out of my life," then struggle, make effort, work hard, and give the glad good news to your shaykh. "Say, shaykh, I took all of this sin, I worked hard 1 or 2 months, every month he's given an update, report, feedback, and if the sin's not coming out, give report. Hazrat, do dua, pay attention, do your tawajjuh on me." And who is the one who will take out? Allah will take the sin out. One day Allah Ta'ala will make the means, alhamdulillah, with the shaykh's dua, you do dua as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? Will you try from today? Inshallah. And this is the way your sins will come out. Sins don't come out automatically. They're stuck. They're super glued. They're idols. You'll have to cry. And you have to do shukr that Allah Ta'ala has given you the path. He's given you a teacher. He's given you a shaykh. He's given you dhikr. He's given you such gatherings. These gatherings every week. Who gets this in the world? This is jewels. This is jannat. Such great rewards. So at least take the sins out of your heart. Who's going to take them out? When you feel remorse, regret, worry of hellfire, worry of the hereafter, you have fear and gham of the hereafter, then you say, "I've got this sin, I've got that sin, and I've got that sin." May Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq, the will, the ability and courage, and you also take this work seriously, so that we can reach to our end and hereafter with total trust and conviction. Wa akhru da'wahum, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Recite Durood Sharif.